From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast.
Joe Fan back with another 49ers Studios Podcast. On the line is Mr. Dane Brugler, draft expert for NFL Draft Scout. You can find his work all over the place. Dane, I appreciate your time. And as we transition from Senior Bowl week to Super Bowl week, I want to go back to what transpired in Mobile. You were there. You were on hand at the 2018 Senior Bowl. What went down in Mobile? Was it what you expected? Was it par for the course, or were there any surprises?
I think for the most part, it was what we expected. And that's really what you want from these all-star games and for the combine. It's a cross-checking exercise. You want to make sure that what you think of the player based on the tape, based on everything that you saw during the season, is what you are seeing here at these all-star games. I think for the most part it was. I think the best player for me that I saw, top performer, was Isaiah Wynn, the guard from Georgia. Started all 15 games at left tackle for the SEC champs last year. Moved inside to guard, and you know, he might have got beat once in individual drills, team drills. He was outstanding. And he was actually playing with a torn labrum. So I think Isaiah Wynn helped himself, kind of put him right there in the late first-round mix. And then, you know, keeping with the guards, Will Hernandez from UTEP, he also is in that late first, early second-round mix with how he played, 340 pounds. But he doesn't need to lose any weight because he carries it well. He moves really well. But his game is all about power. He looks to manhandle you, plays nasty. Will Hernandez is going to not have to wait too long on draft weekend to hear his name. It's also a good opportunity for the small school guys. Nathan Shepard, defensive tackle from Fort Hays State, a guy that not a lot of people knew about. I was intrigued when I first watched his tape back in November, but against Division II competition, you're always kind of skeptical. Well, he came to Mobile and he dominated. Unfortunately, he broke his hand midway through the second practice, so we only really have a day and a half of practice. But in those reps, he was outstanding. Power, nimble feet, active hands. He was really tough for blockers to keep under control one-on-one. And then, of course, we had to talk about the quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, I think first. Both deserve a lot of credit for going. A lot of quarterbacks in the past who believe that they were – early round picks would pass on the Senior Bowl just because they felt like they had more to lose than gain. Both these guys came to Mobile. They both impressed. They both helped themselves. Baker Mayfield, to me, was the top quarterback. He played exactly how you expected based off of what he did at Oklahoma. You see the quick release. You see a guy that would use his feet to extend the play. And one thing I was worried about was, with Josh Allen, we know how big of an arm he has. And so with both Allen and Mayfield being on the North team, doing practice rep one after the other, would there be a noticeable drop-off from Allen to Mayfield just in terms of pure velocity? And there wasn't. Mayfield has that quick snap with his wrist. And the ball gets out really quick. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. Seeing the ball come out of his hand right there in person, he has more than enough arm strength to get it done at the NFL level.
Where do those guys rank in terms of your top quarterbacks in this year's draft?
For me, there's still plenty to learn about Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. Right now, if you ask me, I'm going Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and then Josh Allen. But to me, I feel good about Darnold at one. Rosen and Mayfield 2-3, I've gone back and forth. There's still plenty we have to find out about Rosen and some of the stuff off the field and different things. And then Allen's not as bad as some people think or some people say, and I don't think he's as good as some people seem to think that he is, but he's somewhere in the middle. And to me, he helped himself in Mobile with getting better from each practice, and then he played really well in the game, especially in that third quarter. And you know, when you're that size, I call it scouting catnip. You know, he's 6'5", 240 pounds, and you can move like that, and you have a golden arm where you can put it anywhere on the field you want. Now, yes, he's still undeveloped in several areas with his accuracy, his body rhythm, just from the overall mental aspect of the game of playing the position. But there's still plenty to like that you feel he's going to get better and improve. So I think all four are going to be off the board somewhere in the top 15 picks. But there will be no consensus. You know, you'll get a different answer, whoever you ask, about the order of these guys and how much or where you believe they should come off the board.
And that, I think, is what is crazy about it is you look at it, it was really a similar story, in my opinion, last year where you had guys like Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Kaiser, Deshaun Watson, all guys who you had a feeling would go in the first round, but you just didn't know where and who would go first. Now you don't know who's going to go first, but you're all looking. I mean, you're talking about some guys are saying four of these guys are going to go in the top five picks, you know, almost certainly going in the top 10. There's just so many QB needy teams that you know, you don't know how to project them, but all of a sudden they're not just first rounders, but they're going to be, you know, in the lottery, so to speak.
Right. And it's simple supply and demand. There will always be more demand than there is supply. And when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL, and you mentioned the quarterback needy teams, you look at just the top, you know, six teams. You have Cleveland with two picks in 1-4, the Giants, Denver, the Jets. So there are so many spaces here in the top early portion of the first round that you could say, yeah, we could see a quarterback there. You could see a quarterback there. But these quarterbacks, you could poke holes in all of them in some way. You know, with a guy like Baker Mayfield, you know, he's just over 6 foot. He's coming from more of a college type of offense. And, you know, he's got a few questions with maturity. I mean, he's not Johnny Manziel. Forget those comparisons. But he does have some maturity questions. You take a guy like Sam Darnold, who I love. I think he's the top quarterback. But you look at the turnovers. You look at the fact that he didn't necessarily take the next step in his development as a sophomore. Some would say he took a step back. You know, the supporting cast had a lot to do with that. And there's plenty of context there. But there's still questions that you have about him. And then with Josh Rosen, when it comes to being a pocket passer, he's very pretty. He might be the best just pure pocket passer. But when things break down, his athleticism, it kind of, you know, leaves you wanting more. The decision-making's up and down. And then just the off-field. Is he coachable? The character concerns. A lot of teams have a lot of questions about just who he is as a person, how he'll handle himself in a locker room, how much he loves football. So again, all these guys have question marks, and it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Cleveland, they prefer one guy at the top, and then the Giants, they prefer another guy. It's just opinions are all over the map on these guys. We'll see if the combine provides any new developments in terms of separating these guys.
Absolutely. Back to the Senior Bowl, are there any other names we need to know in terms of prospects who are on the rise?
You know, I think several players help themselves. Oklahoma defensive end Ogbo Okoronkwo.
Well done,
a little
sir.
Undersized.
Well done.
Yeah, I've been practicing in the mirror, in front of the mirror.
Exactly.
He's 6'1", 243 pounds, but he came in at 34.5-inch arms, so very good length. A little undersized for a pass rusher, but during practice he really played well. I think he showed he can be a defensive end in a 4-3. Or he can stand up in a 3-4. He's not going to be a scheme-specific player. He helped himself sticking with the Big 12. James Washington, wide receiver from Oklahoma State, a guy who you know, reset the record books in the Big 12 and in Oklahoma State with his receiving production the past 3 years. Not the biggest guy, 5'11", but he's 210 pounds, 34-inch arms. He's well put together. The biggest thing for him, coming from that Oklahoma State offense, how would he develop as a route runner? Because he was basically a lot of verts, a lot of digs, a lot of you know, in-breaking routes. Wasn't asked to run a complete route tree. Well, I thought he showed that he got better throughout the week with his route running, with his releases, his ability to get open with more than just speed alone. So James Washington helped himself. Another wide receiver that really jumped off the film with his speed was DJ Chark. But there's a lot of inconsistency. At the Senior Bowl, you really saw that speed, the ability to get behind the defense. He showed that in the game. He had more receiving yards in the game than he ever did at LSU. And so I think DJ Chark is definitely on the rise. And then we have to mention Shaquem Griffin, the linebacker from Central Florida, missing his left hand he continues just to beat the expectations. He did it this past year as a senior. He went to Mobile. He played outstanding. The play speed's outstanding. There's no question he has some limitations. His ability to take on blocks, his ability to make off-balance tackle attempts without the use of that left hand. There are some limitations there that will probably keep him from being an every-down linebacker, but put him on my team. I want Shaquem Griffin on my team. I think he'll be outstanding on special teams. You can put him on the field on defense and sub-package situations as a rusher, drop him in space. So, and one thing talking to scouts that, was brought up, it's not like Shaquem Griffin lost his left hand 2 years ago in, a car accident. He's not had that left hand since he was 4 years old. It's all he's ever known. He's never played football without or with the use of that left hand. So he understands how to best use his limitation to his advantage. And the play speed, the effort, it really is something to watch. He will be drafted, I think, somewhere in the middle round. And I think he'll play in the NFL for a lot of years.
And with Griffin, a guy who just punched his ticket to the combine, am I right, after a strong Senior Bowl week?
He did. The final combine invites, the final wave going out this week, and he was among them. So great to see.
Good deal. Looking ahead to the combine, I know we're still a few weeks away. Looking ahead to what's going to take place in Indianapolis in late February, early March, who are players who need to show well? I mean, a lot of tape you have to watch between now and then, but just that first cursory overview, who are guys that you really feel like need to do well, whether it's in the interviews, whether it's testing well, whether it's the medical? Who's going to have a big week in Indianapolis?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's about the medicals. That's why the combine exists. That's why the combine is so important. And that's really why it's in Indianapolis, is because of the medical equipment that's available right there in the city. So the medicals will be really paramount for a lot of these guys. The guys that have been dinged up over their careers, are there long-term worries? Is it something that, teams are going to have to red flag? Take a guy like Anthony Miller, for example. He hurt his foot in the bowl game, had to pull out of the Senior Bowl. To me, this is a top 50 wide receiver in this draft, but some teams are really worried about the medicals. And there are countless number of guys that are, we'll have to wait and see. Guys or teams will be holding their breath to see what the doctors and trainers say about the medical reports. So medical is first and foremost number one. I'd say the interviews are the second most important. How do these guys do when you put them up on the whiteboard? How do they do retaining information, spitting it back out? What's their mental makeup like? How much do they know? How much will they have to be coached once they get to the NFL level in terms of concept and scheme and different things like that? So the interview process will definitely be important, especially guys that have some character concerns, past issues. How do they respond when they're challenged about some of their off-field issues, especially a guy like Josh Rosen, who we mentioned. And then, of course, getting back on the field. I mentioned earlier these events being more of a cross-checking exercise. That's especially true with the combine drills. Guys that you expect to run fast should run fast. Guys that maybe look a little tight in their movements, they probably won't do as well in the change of direction drills, like the three cone and the short shuttle. So how do they do? Do the numbers match up what you saw on tape? And if they don't, going back to the tape and trying to figure that out. A couple of guys that I'm eager to see how they test: Cortland Sutton, the wide receiver from SMU, a player that looks like a power forward on the football field. He's big, he's physical, he's athletic. But what's his 40-yard dash? What's his, what are his numbers going to look like? You worry about some of the short area quickness and the long speed. He's a very raw route runner, but if he runs well, that athleticism likely gets him in the first round. So plenty of guys eager to see how they run. You look at the cornerback position, LSU, Dante Jackson. I expect him to run really well. Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama, some teams are looking at him as a corner. He played more of a safety hybrid nickel role at Alabama. How will, is he going to have the speed that teams necessarily look for at an outside corner? So plenty of questions that we'll need to answer at the combine, and hopefully we get them.
Dane, there's one player I'm real curious about, and particularly because it's at a position of need for the 49ers. You mentioned guys who have question marks off the field. I think Arden Key is probably a guy who fits into that mold. What do you make of him as a prospect, and how does he fit into the stack in terms of this year's pass rushers?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him because he's absolutely going to be one of the guys that's where the combine's most important. And it's for the medicals because he missed basically his whole entire off season with shoulder surgery. And when he came back, there was a lot of rust. He didn't play like the Arden Key that we saw as a sophomore. So, you know, what's going on with the medicals and then the interviews. Plenty of, you know, rumors out there, questions out there about does he have the mental toughness to deal with the ups and downs of NFL life? Does he truly love football where he's going to work at it enough to reach his full potential? On the field, he looks like a top 10 pick. When you break down his sophomore tape, it looks outstanding with that size, that length, and the ability to capture the edge with speed. You get excited about the pass rusher he could be, but there's plenty of the extra questions that go along with it that go into whether or not he'll reach that potential that hopefully teams will be able to figure out at the combine. It's really a make or break event for Key because he has first round talent, but right now I expect him to be more of a second round pick with all the questions.
Dan, before I let you go, draft season means it's also mock draft season. Have you dropped your first mock draft mixtape yet?
Yeah, I have. And I have a mock draft out there. It's, you know, I'm sure I'll update it here maybe before the combine, but, right now I have 49ers going Roquan Smith. You know, I had something where pair Roquan, put him up with the Will, pair him with Reuben Foster, remind 49ers fans of the days of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. And, you know, not that this is even a possibility, but if something were to happen with Reuben Foster, we know he's had some injury issues. We know the off field. If something were to happen where he's not able to be on the field, at least Roquan Smith gives you that insurance down the road. But I think best case scenario, they're both on the field and they both can be dominant players.
I love it. He's Dane Brugler of NFL Draft Scout. Find his stuff all over the web. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. Dane, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. I look forward to seeing you at the combine here in a few weeks.
Anytime. Thanks, Joe.